Morning. It's great to see you and worship with you this morning. We are getting closer to spring. Isn't it exciting? Who enjoyed some sunshine this weekend? I hope to see some more freckles on you soon. That's good. Well, it is a good day to be worshiping together. We are continuing in our Lenten season around the real reality of vulnerability in our life and how vulnerability plays out, whether it's in our capacities or certain situations, our social relationships or intimate connections with one another. Vulnerability plays an important role. And so we're going to uncover that today as we hone in on the topic of families and being real within our families and closest friends. I don't know about you, but sometimes that's the scariest place to be real. So we're going to explore what that can look like and how we can be faithful in that journey together. Zoe, I'm going to invite you to come share some news with us.
Good morning. So daylight savings time is sneaking up on us again, so remember to set your clocks forward. Today there's a dedication of the South Doors and soup and salad luncheon. The gifts of the Langer family will be dedicated after the 10:30 service. All are invited. So please greet each other with a handshake or an embrace with the words, "May the peace of God be with you."
I will sing the intro at once, and then you would join us for two times. Bless the Lord, my soul, and bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul, who leads me into life. Bless the Lord, my soul, and bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul, who leads me into life. Bless the Lord, my soul. God's holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul, who leads me into life.
Good morning, Mountain View.
We
want to greet everybody today and welcome you to worship in God's house. It's a special day. We'll be dedicating a door in honor of the Langer family. We'll be recognizing our quiet disciple, Robin Chavez. And we will be having Holy Communion. And this is a great privilege to be together in God's house to do that. I want to ask if anybody's here for the very first time, we have a small gift for you. It is a bag of popcorn to thank you for popping in. Welcome. Richard, help us out. Deliver these for us to these fun. Yeah, welcome, welcome. Tell us your name.
Joe.
Hi, Joe. Who do you got with you? Wanda. We're so glad you're here. Joe and Wanda, be sure you make them feel welcome today. Others who are here for the first time, we want to greet you, to thank you for popping in. All right. Announcements. We did that. Okay. The call to worship, here we go. Would you stand with me and let us join together? Please join with me. The heavens are telling the glory of God. May our worship reflect God's glory. The firmament proclaim God's handwork. May we see each other as the handiwork of God. Let our prayer and praise, our singing and proclamation, project the love of God. We commune with Christians around the world, with Christians throughout time, with Christians across geography and across time. Let us worship. We want to invite Robin Chavez to come forward and all the children to gather around her. Would you come help me celebrate Robin for a minute, children? Bill Good, would you come forward as well? If you'll come right here in the center, Robin, and then, whoops, have the children gather around. Bill Good is our president of the congregation represents you all very well. This is Robin Chavez. If you haven't met her before, Robin is a wonderful woman. She helps every single week in our children's division. She's a constant help there. Robin starts planning Vacation Bible School in January, right? And once I know for a fact that when Robin had a health concern, she insisted on getting out of the hospital by Sunday morning so she could come and fulfill her role with the children. She's so dedicated. She's so capable. And today we recognize her as our quiet disciple from this congregation. Yesterday she was celebrated at the district, and we have in this great opportunity to celebrate you this morning, Robin. So on behalf of the congregation, I thank you for your dedication. Come along, children. Come gather around Robin. We have presents, gifts, drawings. They're showing their appreciation for you. And before we let you go back to your seat, could you put your hand on Robin, touch her shoulder? Children, would you do that? And then if you can't reach in, touch each other's shoulders like that. Be connected. Be all together. Put your arm on her shoulder, on his shoulder or her shoulder. Holy God, thank you for servants, adults, and children who live you alive each and every day. We give you thanks for Robin and for her dedication to you, O God, and for her dedication to your children. Help us, Lord, to know your love in such a way that we grow in our commitment and that we're encouraged by your love. In Jesus' name, and the people of God said, Amen. God bless you. Thank you, children. All right. Thank you so much. Thank you, Robin. If that isn't motivation enough for us to give our gifts, I don't know what is. We ask you to be generous with your giving, to be outlandish, extravagant in your offerings, for the work of the kingdom of God is done. It's a full body kind of experience. And so give what you can for the kingdom. Amen.
I will bow and be simple. I will bow.
Holy God, it is you who raise Christ from the dead. It is you who pull us out of our own dead places and into the light. It is you who brings new life and new hope and joy. And so we open ourselves to you this morning in such great need, for we are your people in this place. Be with us. Raise us from the dead. Give us hearts for joy and hope. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Let us stand and sing our This is the part of the service that always picks up, so thank you for your grace.
May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Then Esther called for Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs, who had been appointed to attend her, and ordered him to go to Mordecai to learn what was happening and why. Hathach went out to Mordecai in the open square of the city, in front of the king's gate. And Mordecai told him all that had happened to him and the exact sum of money that Haman had promised to pay the king's treasuries for the destruction of the Jews. Mordecai also gave him a copy of the written decree issued in Susa for their destruction, and that he might show it to Esther, explain it to her, and charge her to go to the king to make a supplication to him and entreat him for her people. Hathach went and told Esther what Mordecai had said. Then Esther spoke to Hathach and gave him a message for Mordecai, saying, "All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that if any man or woman goes to the king inside the inner court without being called, there is but one law. All alike are to be put to death. Only if the king holds out the golden scepter to someone, may that person live. I myself have not been called to come into the king for 30 days. When they told Mordecai what Esther had said, Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, "Do not think that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silence at such a time as this, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another quarter, but you and your father's family will perish. Who knows, perhaps you will come to royal dignity for just to such a time as this." Then Esther said in reply to Mordecai, "Go gather all the Jews to be found in Susa and hold a fast on my behalf, and neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will also fast as you do. After that, I will go to the king, though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." Mordecai then went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. The word of God for the people of God.
Great job, Zoe. Thank you. I think I might need to start this morning by apologizing. I just dumped you in the middle of this story. You know, when you start with then, you know you've missed something, right? This story of Esther and her cousin Mordecai are on the brink of destruction, mortal peril, and sure intrigue. It's like turning on Game of Thrones right before a really important character is about to die, and you didn't know it was coming. It's rough. If I tried to do this with Lydia and just plop her down for a small moment of time during her Fantasia 2000, I'm sure there would be gnashing of teeth, so I get this. But there is something important about this pinpoint of the story, and it seems appropriate for our topic today. Families being real with each other right here, right now. Think about your own family and its dynamics, its nuances and intricacies, and tell me honestly if it would take you at least 5 or 10 minutes to explain it all to someone if you then needed to tell someone about a particular situation. See, for me, it takes at least 5 minutes just to explain how we're all related and the nuances and the dynamics of that. So it tends to help but also complicate this story. And thus it makes us realize how intricate, complex, but also incredible our families are. Well, the story of Esther has a similar reality. It's an incredible book. It's considered one of the wisdom writings in the Old Testament, among the Proverbs, Ruth, and Ecclesiastes, and it only has 10 chapters. So if you have not read Esther recently, I highly recommend that you go home and do it. It will rival any novel that you are currently reading. And on top of that, it can boast a great faith story and guiding light for your road. We meet Esther in this story. She's a young and beautiful Jewish woman who was selected among many to become the king's wife. Now, she never identified her Jewish heritage, but continued to be faithful to Yahweh and to her husband while she was in the palace. Her cousin Mordecai helped this arrangement come to pass, and now he despairs that one of the king's men has put a bounty out on the heads of all the Jews. If there was any reason for there's no good one, it's because Haman, the king's man, has a hateful heart that is focused on this set-apart people. We've thus entered this story when Mordecai reaches out to Esther for help. She is in an influential position, and she's also at risk. Despite her raised status in the palace, or Mordecai's immediate feeling of mortal peril, the cousin reaches out to Esther, vulnerable to ask to use her influence, and sure that especially with family, he needed to take this vulnerable risk. The story goes on to reveal how Esther leans into her own vulnerability in speaking with the king on behalf of her people and the consequences of such boldness. Now, in order to really find ourselves in the story and this way of courage, I want to share the working definition of vulnerability that has influenced my thoughts. In her book, Daring Greatly, Dr. Brené Brown defines vulnerability as uncertainty, risk, and emotional exposure. She also believes it is the birthplace of love, belonging, joy, courage, and empathy. So it's with this lens of vulnerability that we can see the greater depth of complexities and rewards of vulnerability in Esther's story and our own. This Old Testament story and book holds important parallels to our lives. First, in Esther, intimate relationships are at stake. Esther and Mordecai have a lifelong bond. Mordecai is like an older brother or a close uncle to his favorite sister or niece. Esther is also faced with a delicate relationship between husband and wife, as she desires to respect and honor her man. And in a broader scope, we have the relationship between a king and the people within that kingdom, specifically the Jews, and we realize how interdependent all of these players are. Another parallel from this fourth chapter is when to our own lives is when Mordecai states plainly, "Claim who you are." Esther needed to acknowledge and claim her Jewish identity so that such an identity helped her know she was a part of a people, of a family. This self-claiming also went to the extent of helping her understand how she was in an opportune and a special place in the palace. The very right place, it seemed, for this place is where God could use her. Now, if Esther chose to deny any of these truths about herself, her heritage, her placement, her purpose, well, her conviction would easily falter before the king, her plea fall short, and her purpose go unmet. Finally, Esther sought the way of vulnerability, that way of risking in uncertainty, that emotional exposure. And she sought the way of vulnerability over violence or revenge, whining or running away. I don't know about your life, but sometimes showing up and being vulnerable instead of doing all these other things, well, that's a victory unto itself. Esther did. Esther chose the way of vulnerability. And Mordecai chose this way as well. See, he didn't ask Esther to go kill the king on the behalf of the Jews. He didn't ask her to plot revenge against Haman. And Mordecai himself didn't run away out of fear and hopeless desperation, as if he could outrun the sword. Esther's secret identity as a Jew could have put her in real danger with the king and Haman. And so here we see two important characters leaning into vulnerability because of their relationships and hoping for a healing outcome. Well, these parallel realities can be found in our own lives. First off, we all have intimate relationships. I want you to think of one that you have. Maybe you're sitting next to that intimate relationship right now, or that person drove you to work. These intimate relationships are important, and of course we are responsible and relate to larger communities, our faith community, our city. We have national and international connections. But I would argue that the close relationships that we have, the people that we do life with on a daily basis, is where we learn to build the path on which we walk. It is here where we receive assurance and challenge, courage, and hopefully honesty as we grow in our mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being. It is also these very places that need our best efforts and not just our default habits or our leftover time. whether with a good family or a friend as close as a sister, we would do anything for them. Think about that intimate relationship again. Think about what length you would go to for that person and for that relationship. And as you consider that, I want you to take one more step and consider how willing and able you are to make a way for vulnerability in that relationship, to make a way for honesty, forgiveness, reconciliation to exist. Esther faced the possibility of hurt, multiple ways of hurt, not just physical, but emotional, relational hurt, just like we do. And it seems that intimate relationships are the toughest place to risk, because that's where we could lose it all. That's where all of it could fall apart, not to mention that we have experienced heartaches before in these relationships. We've seen how patterns of bad habits are never broken. And quite frankly, sometimes we just don't have the language of being real. It's foreign and unfamiliar within these relationships. I don't know exactly how Mordecai ran the exchange in his head before he asked Esther for help. But he saw that notice in Susa that all the Jews would be killed, and he ripped his clothes, he covered himself in ashes, and he faced death as a promise. So perhaps he felt that he had nothing to lose in asking. In your immediate and intimate relationships, what would it take for you to speak or act with conviction, especially with vulnerability? Does it take losing everything else before you lean in? Sometimes it's helpful to have particular words to grasp an idea. And so Brené Brown talks about these simple phrases as phrases of vulnerability. What does it take to say, "I'm sorry," "I need help," "I'm falling in love," "I'm afraid," "I want to be accountable"? These are very real phrases, very real ways of expressing vulnerability in our most intimate relationships. And these relationships hold a great weight in influencing our actions, but so does who we claim to be. We can claim that we are children of God and of ultimate worth. And in so claiming, we can't deny that the same is true of the person that we look at. For that other person is also a beloved child of God of ultimate worth. We can claim in this that we are in this relationship here and now and become curious about why. How did this come to pass? What's our history and our personality and our hopes that influence and inform our interactions? Finally, we can claim that we have all been given courage, conviction, and calling. We've been given it, and we can receive. As we look at these parallels, we finally parallel with Esther in that we are invited to continually choose a third way, not fighting or fleeing, but leaning in with vulnerability. Brené Brown says, if we want greater clarity of our purposes or deeper or more meaningful spiritual lives, vulnerability is the path. In families and friendships, these alternatives, the running away or the fighting, can look like disengagement, just not showing up, or an attitude of whatever. No one really benefits from these alternatives. No one grows or finds healing in this route. And you know, sometimes we need to give each other permission to do the right thing. So we're called to model it, to do it, to witness to Christ, to be actively with Christ's suffering. And to be honest, if you've ever practiced or tried vulnerability, even once, you probably would parallel that word, suffering. There's sweaty palms, there's a nervous stomach, and you're not quite sure what will happen. But the way of Christ's suffering can lead to wholeness. And in these three areas of naming nuances of our intimate relationships, claiming our identities, and leaning in with vulnerability, we're not just creating a formula for a great sitcom or a lifetime movie, right? These are the daily ways of living and being, growing and suffering with and healing in the way that Jesus lived, taught, and encouraged his followers. The rewards of vulnerability, as we saw with Esther, can take on minor and also epic expressions. Risks tend to redouble a person's commitment to another. Major ramifications and rewards flow past the front door of our family dwellings. And of course, these rewards aren't found willy-nilly. Esther used great wisdom and humility. Some relationships do break open with distrust and betrayal, hard to put back together. And again, there are those habits within our relationships that can continually cause pain or just keep us stuck. And so this is where I believe the grace of God must be infused. You see, in ancient Hebrew tradition, people would bring sacrifices of animals before God. This, at first, they did this because they thought bloodletting was the way to go. Other people from other cultures were doing that for their gods, and so why not join the crowd? But eventually, this ritual and attitude was replaced with the idea of connecting with God over a meal. As Brian McLaren writes, sacrifices were seen increasingly as gifts of food, as if to say, God is calling us together around a family table. And when people did horrible things, they would bring the makings of a feast, as if to say, God, we are so sorry for our wrongs, but we still want to have our family meal. We want to have this family meal again, reconciling with you and one another. As we consider the wisdom of Esther and Mordecai, their behavior that leans into vulnerability in the midst of intimate relationships, I pray that we can find courage within to try as they did. I also pray that we find and live into the memory of all the times we gather, especially around communion, that family meal that Jesus has set before us, and realize the value of that family meal. Here is the resting place of healing and forgiveness. This can be the birthing place of love, belonging, courage, joy, and empathy. And so, this morning I invite you again to this family meal. You come as you are, bringing your whole heart humble and vulnerable. And as we prepare ourselves, as we prepare our hearts to come and receive and to gather as a family around this table, I invite you to pray and reflect upon what you would humbly bring before God that needs healing, and how a similar vulnerability with those closest to you could unfold. I invite you now into a moment of silence. With all that you are, and it is through this vulnerability that was both before Christ and showed through Christ and is lived after Christ that God holds us in his love. And that is through that vulnerability that we are offered forgiveness for our sins, where we mess up, where we fall short, where we need healing, we can be renewed. And so it is this love that we ask for Christ's mercy, and we're so excited that he says yes. In Christ, all are forgiven. And the people of God said, amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. It is good to give our thanks and praise. It is good and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to our God, Almighty Creator of heaven and earth. Let us pray. As you, O God, shape all of creation, even holding us in our intimate care, we see your promise fulfilled. You promised that you would be with us always, in our families and with our friends. Your presence stirs within that we might know and speak truth to each other. In gratitude for being our God, especially when we're vulnerable, we give you thanks, God of creation, God of salvation, God of the prophets, and God of us all. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join in their unending hymn.
Your Son, Jesus Christ, who was the Word made flesh, who came to show us the way of your love. He healed the sick and he restored the hurting. He embodied vulnerability. He served others as they served alongside him, both from humble and exalted places. Holy are you, O God, and holy is your Son, Jesus Christ, who was betrayed by those who loved him, who was persecuted by those who feared him, who was crucified by those who thought his death would be the end of him. And so on the night that he gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to you, O God, and broke it. He gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat this bread. This is my body which I've given to you. Every time you do this, remember me. And when the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples and said, drink you all of this. Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of a new covenant. It is given to you as part of our family meal, that your sins will be forgiven now and always. Every time you drink it, remember me. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, your resurrection until you come again.
Will you pray with me? Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, O God, and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. Make this be a balm and an encouragement of hope through the Holy Spirit, that we may be healed and made whole in Jesus Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Please join with me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Who are helping with communion, will you come forward? All are invited to this table, this family meal offered by God. You're invited to come down the center aisle, take a piece of bread and dip it in the cup. If you are gluten intolerant, we have gluten-free elements on this side. All are welcome. You may kneel at the altars, and there's also an opportunity for healing prayer on this side. So come, taste, and know that God is good. Holy God, we give you thanks for this family meal that you have set before us again, called us to, and given us the courage to be vulnerable with you and with others. Continue to help us reconcile with one another and see that as we are forgiven, we can forgive others. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
All to
beloved people of God, know that as you go out into this world, you can go out with the encouragement of living Christ. The way of knowing intimate relationships, the way of claiming who you are, and the way of vulnerability that leads to joy, courage, empathy, and wholeness. Go with this encouragement that you might experience wholeness in your relationships this day and evermore. Go in God's peace. Amen.